Years ago, a reporter asked Mother Teresa what she said when she prayed. "I don't say anything. I listen," she said. "Oh," said the reporter, "then what does God say?" "God doesn't say anything when I pray. God listens." So, considering this, it has been difficult to choose words to talk about something that is about listening, about opening, about connection and gratitude and awe. During seminary, Wendy and I spent a summer working at Highland Hospital in Oakland, California, serving as chaplains. There were lots of things that I worried about there. I worried about the intensity of being in an emergency room of a trauma center where half of the beds were generally gunshots and stab wounds. I worried about not knowing how to respond to the poverty, to the violence, to the racism and pain that many patients there experienced. And I worried about praying. You see, I've prayed for a lot of my life, silently, or I recited prayers as a child. Yet suddenly I was being asked daily to offer prayers out loud and on demand with people I had barely met. I needed to find a way that I could authentically pray with people who had vastly different theologies from me. And I remembered the story from Mother Teresa. And I started with listening. Listening to the patient and to their family, listening to the little nudges that I learned to follow that summer in the hospital. I found that I could listen and then say what was on my heart, and while it wasn't fancy, they were the prayers that I had to offer. Poet and minister Reverend Nancy Schaefer wrote of prayer and the words that we choose. "You can choose a different name for the holy. Stop cringing when I say mine. Each is only a word for what can't be said, the barest beginning, a glimpse. The rest you must do in private. You see, what you do there in private shows. You come back with it written all over you. It doesn't matter what the particular word is, only that you have been there to fetch it. Only that you return there often, opening yourself to everything that makes it. Those who taught you what to pray and how to pray were wrong if what they taught you you hate. You can begin again." Where do you go to fetch your words or non-words for naming the unnameable? For naming what it is that connects us? Do you hike the trails in the Adirondacks or along a river and come back with just a little more room in your life for awe? Do you fetch your words in research labs or mathematical equations where you return with joy? Do you go to fetch your prayer in the garden or in the library or your children's voices or a yoga mat or in the classroom? Do you fetch it playing music or chanting or in the quiet as you sit before eating, feeling a wave of gratitude? Do you fetch it when you catch the eye of a stranger and share a smile? I experience each of these acts as prayer. You might not. That might not be one of the words that you fetch. You might choose words like humanity. That word works too. What is important is that we open ourselves to a wave of awareness that maybe we aren't so separate. Maybe we really are all connected. Do you ever remember that? And then, like me, forget until the next time you remember? But why bother with prayer? You may be familiar with studies that show that people who are ill have a higher rate of recovery when they're prayed for, even when they don't know that it's happening. I'm not sure what to think about those studies. I don't believe in a puppeteer god or goddess or other being that changes the outcome of football games, wars, or illness based on petitions, although I have been known to mumble a quick "Hail asphalt full of grace, help me find a parking place" when visiting New York City. I do believe that prayer changes me. Prayer is an opportunity to shift our awareness. And awareness and attention are often necessary for changing behavior. What you come back with is written all over you. I entered seminary shortly after my 40th birthday. I had sold a house, a business, and left a community and career that I loved. During orientation, I sat with 24 others, many of whom had also uprooted their lives to answer this strange and mysterious and wonderful call. We knew our lives were completely changing, and we weren't sure what they would look like yet. In our first class together, we were asked to commit to a specific daily practice, one that would help us ground and connect. We were asked by the president of the school, Dr. Rebecca Parker, to use a universalist meditation. Every day, on our own, we were to say, "There is a love holding me. There is a love holding all that I love. There is a love holding all. There is a love holding us. There is a love holding all that we love. There is a love holding all." And then we named each of our classmates: Neil Anderson, "In This Love." Wendy Bartell, "In This Love." Leon Dunkley, "In This Love." And so on. It took some time each day, and it was powerful to picture each person, to hold them in my mind and heart, and to affirm that whatever was going on in their lives, they were held in love. This is a practice I've returned to for my friends, for my family, and for you. Wendy and I have begun each church year naming each person in the congregation. It takes some time. I don't know if it's changed you, but it has changed me. May we each find our own unique, imperfectly beautiful ways to fetch that which gives our lives meaning, opening to that which is good, to that which we may even call holy. Salam, shalom, ashe, namaste, and blessed be.